The Global Alliance is excited to have a focus on veterans' issues through a series of podcasts. Today, we will be discussing Recovery and Community, Veterans and Serious Mental Illness, presented by Dimitri Paravoliotis and Jordan Snyder from the VA San Diego Healthcare System. Thanks for being here with us today.
Thanks for having us. We're really excited.
Thank you.
So, Dimitri, I'm wondering, what is CORE and what do veterans do in our program?
So CORE is stands for the Center of Recovery Education, and we are essentially a specialty mental health program in the VA San Diego healthcare system. And our formal designation is a Psychosocial Rehabilitation and Recovery Center, or a PRRC. And there are many PRRCs across the country at various VAs. And essentially, these are specialty mental health programs, but really we call them transitional learning centers that are designed to support veterans who have serious mental illness and serious functional impairment with their recovery and integration into meaningful self-determined community roles. So locally here in San Diego, we had such a high need to address the needs of veterans with psychotic disorders that we've kind of defined ours serious mental illness locally as folks with psychotic disorders, meaning schizophrenia, schizoaffective disorder, that sort of thing. And our mission, which is the same as the mission of PRCs across the country, is to inspire and assist veterans who experience serious mental illness, or SMI for short, to reclaim their lives by instilling hope and building on strengths. So basically what that means in practice is helping veterans to identify, maybe for the first time, or to re-identify, reconnect with what's important to them, what they want their life to be all about. And that's essentially recovery, and help them to chart a course toward their recovery and take steps to put their life back together and to recover from serious mental illness. So part of that involves a lot of things. We have a lot of programming that's really designed to not just be about reducing symptoms of mental illness, but like I said, really connecting the person to a life worth living for them. And usually what that means is it tends to fall into various categories of things like working, living, so having a better place to live, connections with people, and having a sense of purpose. So when veterans join our program, they get assigned to a recovery coach who helps them to create that a roadmap of what their recovery is going to look like, and helps them plug into whatever services that we offer, but also especially what's in the community that will help them to move toward their recovery, and however that looks for them. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Yeah, really great. And you talked a little bit about recovery as kind of inspiring veterans to kind of get into their communities. Do you have any other thoughts on what recovery might look like?
Yeah, it's a great question. We follow in the VA Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration, or SAMHSA's, definition of recovery, which I really like. And the definition is a process of change through which individuals improve their health and wellness, live a self-directed life, and strive to reach their full potential. And the four major dimensions are health, home, purpose, and community. So that's kind of the official definition that we use, but really it looks different for each person. A lot of our veterans, you know, want to go back to school or get a job, get back into work, or have friendships or romantic relationships, make some money, you know, these kinds of things that we all have as goals in our lives. And each of us as providers has our own kind of personal take on what recovery means. For me, I guess my personal definition would be really helping the person to tap into the person behind the symptoms. I think a lot of times when you're in a medical institution, it's very easy to really over-focus on the symptoms and the illness aspect of the person. But I see recovery as helping the person tap into all the other aspects of their being, you know, because we're not just people with symptoms. You know, even the most seriously mentally ill folks have these normal, so to speak, I hate to use that term, but desires and needs like anybody else, a connection, a sense of purpose, wanting to be accepted and loved and that sort of thing. So for me, recovery is tapping into those other aspects that sometimes have gotten kind of pushed down by mental illness and stigma and so forth. So that could be a really beautiful process of helping the prayer. And it's actually a very kind of important responsibility we have, is to help people to figure out who they are. And sometimes they it's a process of kind of rediscovering who they are, because they may have lost that along the way.
And then how does CORE kind of promote this recovery?
I think we and other PRCs across the country promote it by really looking at the veteran as a whole person. And yes, we provide services, treatments from psychotherapies, medication, group therapies, and so forth that are aimed at helping people reduce their symptoms and cope with their symptoms. But it doesn't just end there. We help them to tap into the other aspects of themselves. And through the recovery planning process, the recovery coaching process I mentioned, by having them meet with providers from different disciplines. So we have social work, psychology, psychiatry, peer support services, nurses, that sort of thing. So again, different disciplines that address different needs and different aspects of the self. But one particular kind of model that I like to use when thinking about how we help folks with their recovery is one that was developed by my former mentor, Dr. Aaron Tietbeck, who's actually the creator of cognitive behavioral therapy. He has published on this concept of the adaptive mode versus the patient mode. And the idea behind that is that that sometimes folks come to us in what we call the patient mode, which is when they're really focused on symptoms, disability, illness. And sometimes a medical institution can kind of, sort of promote and reinforce that patient mode. People come to us when they're sick, they come for treatment, we help them, they're sitting in a therapy room, we're the experts. So that's important to be able to help somebody with their symptoms, of course, but it's really important to figure out and to tap into the person's adaptive mode too. And that is the kind of the mode that they operate in when they're seemingly like anybody else, you know, when they're talking about their interest in cars or these cool places they travel to when they were in the military or their grandson or so forth, you know, when they're talking about these things that are interesting to them and give their life meaning, you know, they really don't talk about their symptoms. They don't seem so much bothered by them, and they are more motivated and more excited about life. So I see our job as a program being to figure out for each veteran what is their adaptive mode. Everyone's got one, even if they're the most, you know, impaired on an inpatient unit, for example. There are these little glimmers that you look for. I say to my trainees, identify and expand. Find the adaptive mode and then try to expand it. Talk to them about those things. How can they spend their time between meetings with you working on the things that excite them and bring them meaning and purpose? So I think from a big perspective, that's what we're trying to do, is help people really tap into their adaptive mode and expand it so that they can live the life that they want to live, a life worth with meaning and purpose and connection.
And then Dimitri, you've been doing this a long time, working with veterans and serious mental illness. And I'm wondering, what are some of your lessons learned and your recommendations?
Gosh, I have a lot. I keep learning things. first of all, it's a really, really gratifying population to work with. Our folks, our veterans with serious mental illness, have really dealt with so much in their lives. There's often a lot of loss, a lot of trauma. They've served their country and they've been through some really, really rough times, but I'm always impressed by their resiliency. And also the fact that, veterans have these really kind of unique kind of what I call built-in strengths, where even if they're really, really struggling and they've really dealt with a lot, so many of them want to give back and to help others. I'm really always touched by that. That's a really common recovery goal that our veterans have. And I've also, just kind of expanding on that, learned that everybody has strengths, everybody has abilities. They may not, if you ask them, they may not recognize them, or they might say, I have none, but really underneath that, they are there. And same thing goes with goals and aspirations for their life. Sometimes at the beginning of their recovery, folks might say, I don't really know what I want to change in my life, or they might only give you symptom related goals, like I want my voices to go away, or I want the depression to go away. But I've learned to be really patient and to have hope and optimism that they really truly want more than that. And it's a process of getting to know them, getting the trust there, and then really conveying to them that you believe that they can do these things and can accomplish these things and deserve them. And then that sort of becomes a positive feedback loop, where it goes from, you know, you believed in me, therefore I started to believe in me as well. I've also learned that I like to look for the person behind the symptoms, especially with psychosis. Psychosis can be, unfortunately, it's often misunderstood and very stigmatized condition, even among mental health providers, when somebody presents with psychosis, meaning delusions, hallucinations, that sort of thing. There is sometimes this reaction of, whoa, this is different. I don't know what to do with this. I'm not going to talk about it, because it scares people. But I've learned over the years that there's always a person behind the symptoms. And oftentimes the symptoms are a clue to what's going on. So for example, somebody with paranoid delusions, underneath that or behind that might be a feeling of inadequacy or a lack of control and agency in one's life. So they feel really vulnerable, or they feel like they can't go out there into the world because they're so inferior or beneath other people and everybody's senses and so forth. As you can see, this can really kind of go into a delusional direction if left unchecked for a long time. Same with auditory hallucinations too. If somebody has really upsetting voices that are critical of them, oftentimes that's a clue that they may have similar thoughts about themselves. So peeling away the psychosis and figuring out what is the person underneath that, and what is the kind of the common shared humanity stuff that's going on, which, you know, for all of us boils down to things like wanting to feel accepted, wanting to feel loved, wanting to feel connected to other people, wanting to feel like, you know, we have a sense of purpose, that and that we're being productive and contributing something to the world, and that we're good people. Really, at the end of the day, it often comes down to those things. And you just have to clear away the distractions and clutter of symptoms to really hone into what those things are. And I know I'm giving you a lot, sorry, but another last one I want to add in was, you know, it really takes a team. I'm so grateful that we have a varied team of different disciplines here and amazing trainees like yourself, because everybody has their own unique perspective, and this is a bit of a challenging population to work with, and it takes a team of different perspectives who are really committed and caring to get in a room and share their impressions. Because sometimes somebody will present one way to me as their therapist and a very different way to their supported employment specialist, who's just sitting down and doing practical work with them about creating a resume and getting on the street, out on their on the streets and applying for jobs. And it's very useful to share our perspectives. We understand the whole person better that way.
Excellent. Thank you so much for answering all those questions.
Sure. My pleasure. Thank you.